Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today's Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. There seems to be a bump lately in new people joining the podcast, listening to it since I joined TikTok. So if you're new here and you're coming over here from TikTok, I really appreciate the fact that you're giving me a listen. Now, what in the world should we talk about? Is there any news out there lately? It's like we're living in a cartoon or a bad movie or something. It's just unbelievable. We're going to jump into the Afghanistan stuff in a second. I just want to say something really quick about one of the things I talked about in my last podcast that not riled up a couple of people, but I did get some comments and emails and stuff like that defending. So I just want to touch on this. My last episode, I took some time out to, I guess you would say, bash Dan Crenshaw for his the little tiff that he had with Pitten regarding election fraud. And I caught some flack for it, people saying, yeah, maybe he messed up, you know, but give him some slack. He's got a good voting record. He's definitely a conservative. So I thought about it, and possibly I was a little, you know, mildly harsh. But here's why that really touched a nerve with me. The thing that Dan is denying happened. Well, even that, he didn't actually deny it. He says, yeah, there's fraud, but not enough to change the outcome of the election, right? I have a problem with that. First of all, the evidence has been overwhelming for anybody who wants to look. To say that there's no evidence or there's not enough evidence, you're kind of either unwilling to take a look at all the evidence that's been brought forward, or you're kind of lying to yourself. Second, in his mind, there was fraud, but not enough to overcome the, quote, millions of votes that separated, you know, Trump and Biden. All right, we have a very, very different opinion on the facts and the actual outcome of that election. Suppose that election was down to a handful of votes. All right, now, are you concerned about voter fraud at that point? You either think it's an important issue or you don't. I happen to think there is no bigger issue than fraud right now, because look where we are. Look at the last few days. Look at inflation and the economy, right? This is kind of important. His dismissive attitude towards the most important issue facing the country, and especially facing the Republican Party, is what kind of shocked and angered me. It's like if somebody said we don't have a real security issue at the border. I mean, really? That's your story? So while I appreciate the fact that he's got a pretty good solid voting record, it's been pretty conservative and everything, if you're not on board with the one issue that's going to make or break this country and save us from tyranny, then I'm sorry, but I have to question your judgment and I have to call you on it. So I hope that clears it up as to why I went off on him and kind of attacked him like I did. It's just, it's a really, really important issue. It all hinges on our ability to vote and to have our vote matter. And if we don't fix our election system, what does it matter going forward? They're going to make it so that Republicans can never win another election anyway. And then it doesn't matter if he's good on gun control and everything else. It's not going to matter a whip. All right, on to the mess at hand. I'm sure you've been inundated with the news, you know, Biden's absolute failure in Afghanistan. So I'm not going to bore you with a total blow by blow. There's literally, if you go onto any of these websites now, there's 100 articles each on everything that's happening in Afghanistan. We can't cover it all. So I'm just going to give you my take on everything. Right off the bat, there is something really wrong about all of this. I did a quick TikTok video about this yesterday, about an hour or so before Joe Biden came out. And judging by the responses, it looks like a lot of you are in full agreement that there's more to this than meets the eye. Now, for months, Biden has been given advice on how to safely get everybody out. Apparently, he's been ignoring all that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The left-wing media at first was trying to say that this caught everybody off guard, right? That we thought something like this just couldn't happen. Biden himself said it not too long ago, that this wasn't going to happen, it was impossible. And now all of a sudden, we're all supposed to be shocked that this happened and not question how easy and fast it all was. Well, the ease in which the Taliban took over and how fast it did happen with no resistance whatsoever bothers me in a big way. The media is telling me that we didn't see this coming, right? So the United States military intelligence, who watches the Taliban 24/7, listens in on their conversations, tracks their movements, we didn't know this was coming. Had no idea. Come on, please. Does that sound reasonable to you? It doesn't to me. When Trump was president, he basically had an agreement with the Taliban, which because they respected and feared Trump, they abided by it. As soon as Joe got in, they went on the offensive, and we did nothing to stop it. And so it's been escalating until you get to this point where we roll right over and let them have the country. I don't trust any of this narrative. Every time something like this happens, we're told one thing by the government, and then we find out later it was all BS. Now, as I said yesterday, I'm one that has serious doubts and some major questions about 9/11 and how and why that happened. I don't buy the whole storm the Capitol nonsense of January 6th. We know who was involved. We know who set that up. And we know the story that the left is pushing about that is all bunk. And now here we are again. And I don't trust a word that's coming out of the media or this administration at all. I don't trust the, well, we didn't think it would happen so fast story. And here's another thing that sent up a red flag for me. Boris Johnson of the UK, he immediately put out a video, capitulated, said that all the Western governments should recognize the new Taliban government and we should seek to work with them because he didn't want to see, or we all don't want to see, Afghanistan go back to how it was being a terrorist recruitment center back, you know, before the early 2000s. And so Boris doesn't want to see them become terrorists. I'm sorry, Boris, I thought they already were. The UK is obviously one of our strongest allies and strategic partners, and it's interesting to me that Boris was already waving the white flag before this was even over yet. I mean, it was immediate, like he knew what the outcome would be already, like it had already been discussed that nobody was going to do a damn thing. If I were you, I'd be open to any and all possibilities as to why this happened like it did. Could it be Joe Biden and his handlers and the Democrat leadership are just so inept and weak it just kind of happened organically? Yeah, I guess that's possible. Could it be the deep state, the neocons, the central bank? They wanted another war, so they want things to fall apart? Could be too. Could this be some kind of a capitulation to China, handing more power over to them? That could be also. But it sure seems to be a lot deeper than what we're seeing on the surface. Now, leading up to this, a few days before the fall, before the government actually packed up and left, you had Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying there was no getting away from the fact that the Afghan government forces were struggling, but added, the Taliban also has to make an assessment about what they want their role to be in the international community. Well, Jen, I'm no political genius like you or Joe Biden, but I'm going to toss out my two cents as to what I think that their role is going to be. I'm going to guess harborers of dangerous terrorists, trainers of terrorists, maybe actually participating in terrorist attacks. How about international drug dealers? Think they might get the poppy fields up and running at full capacity again? Oh, I know. How about major players in the international trafficking of women and young girls? You think that that might be part of their role in the international community? I bet you government leftists are really torn apart inside about the idea of them becoming drug and sex traffickers again, aren't you? Yeah, sure. Let's look at what Matt Zeller had to say yesterday. Former CIA analyst Matt Zeller told MSNBC's Nicole Wallace Monday on her show Deadline that President Joe Biden lied to the American people during his address on the chaotic evacuation of Afghans that worked with our military over the last 20 years. On Biden's speech, Zeller said, "I feel like I watched a different speech than the rest of you guys. I was appalled. There was such a profound bald-faced lie in that speech. The idea we plan for every contingency? I've been personally trying to tell this administration since it took office. I have been trying to tell our government for years this was coming. We sent them plan after plan on how to evacuate these people. Nobody listened to us. They didn't plan for the evacuation of our Afghan wartime allies. They were trying to conduct it now in the 11th hour." He continued, "I have Afghans on the ground right now who are telling me that the Taliban is going door to door in Kabul and making lists of people who used to work with us. They're telling them with smiles on their faces, evil smiles, they will be back for them once we leave. So we either take them now or these people are going to die. I've been trying to tell anyone who will listen that this is a never again moment in the making." Now, just to confirm that this guy was telling the truth about warning Biden, and he says he's been doing it for years, but I did some research online, and sure enough, there's tons of articles about this guy warning the government, but they only go back to Biden. the articles all say, like, Zeller warns Biden. They go back months, you know, months ago. So he has been telling this administration that this is coming and this is what you need to do. And apparently nobody gave a listen. I mean, he's absolutely right. They ignored it all. Now, he was also saying, though, I can't find the quote because everybody's focused on the evacuation segment of it all. He was also saying that the narrative that Biden used, that the Afghan soldiers didn't fight or didn't care to defend their country, he was saying that that was wrong, too. He talked about them not being resupplied, not being paid, being left to fight with not enough supplies, etc., making the whole situation, like, impossible for them. So I'm not going to talk much about that until I can find the info again and actually quote it directly, but I don't think that this is cut and dried like Biden tried to make it out in his pathetic little speech yesterday. Now, leftists have tried all over the internet the last day or so to blame this on Trump, of course. Funny enough, it's regular Twitter lefties and celebrities doing most of the bashing of Trump, while, believe it or not, leftist media and even some people in the government on the, you know, the Democrat side are actually criticizing and calling out Joe, at least in part. You know, not fully, but you wouldn't expect any of it, but they are. Now, they can try to blame Trump as they always do, but notice that, as usual, none of this was happening when he was around. The Taliban wasn't taking over territory, there was no out-of-control inflation going on, we weren't being threatened by China, we weren't seeing gas prices go up 40%. All of this, mysteriously, started happening when Joe Biden took office. Now, listen to what some people were saying at a protest in front of the White House. I think that was yesterday. The Taliban and other terror networks in the Middle East will vie for power and jihadi terrorism will resurge, Atiq Abbas, an Afghan native who emigrated to the United States in February, told the Gateway Pundit. Joe Biden took the decision now to pull out the troops at once, in a single day or very short time. This is rushed and it will have bad consequences for our country, of course, and even for the United States in the future. Who were Al-Qaeda? They were the people that were responsible for the 9/11 attacks. That's why the United States came to Afghanistan to kill them, he said. Now they're back. I am totally hopeless for my future, the future of my country. It is totally black. It was the last time the United States will help my country. We lost this chance. No one is going to help us, Abbas continued. The United States is letting them control the country. They will take you again. They will take your embassy, your people. They will take many countries. If Pakistan gives the Taliban nuclear technology, what will happen? You should ask this question to Biden. He should think about this. Now, here's the kicker. Here's an important part. Once Biden took office, the Taliban stopped attending peace meetings and went on a murder spree, explained Zora, an Afghan-American. Biden supporter and member of the group End Proxy War in Afghanistan, which organized the protest at the White House. There were targeted killings of civilians. They were blowing up infrastructure. They were blowing up buildings. These are all war crimes. We were wondering why the deal was continuing when there were war crimes happening, Zora told the Gateway Pundit. The troop withdrawal, plus the announcement, the deadline, just emboldened the Taliban and their sponsors. We have 50% of girls in school instead of zero before 2001. For 20 years, they rebuilt the community and created a community which was very respectful and to diversity and human rights and democratic values. For 20 years, we taught our children about these values. Now those children who were born after 2001, now they are facing an Islamic emirate and no one knows which kind of rules and regulations they're going to bring for Afghan women. Now, I'm not saying we have to or should stay in Afghanistan forever. I'm all for bringing troops home. But you don't announce your plans. You don't show weakness and you don't leave a situation in their hands only if they aren't ready or able. All we're doing now is emboldening our enemies in the Middle East and all over the world. You have to have this planned out perfectly so no Americans are left behind, no personnel, no equipment, no allies, and if everyone you leave behind is in grave danger, you don't leave yet. Now, there are reports at different media outlets all over the place talking about how many Americans might be left over there, and the number is fluctuating anywhere between 10 and 40,000. I'm guessing closer to the 10,000 since that seems to be like the majority consensus, but who really knows at this point? I am really having a struggle with my voice today. From Breitbart, an administration official who was not authorized to speak on the record told me that there's an estimated 10,000 citizens in the country, with the vast majority in or near Kabul. Some are residents, journalists, or aid workers who may not want to leave, Josh Rogan wrote in the Washington Post. Most are scrambling to escape. Some are dual nationals or children of Americans who may not have the proper passports or visas, but the State Department has not told them how to fix their paperwork. The Daily Mail reported 40,000 Americans are stranded in Afghanistan, while a White House official reported only 700 Americans will be evacuated on Tuesday. Monday saw 150 Americans evacuated. Now, you probably all saw the photo of that C-17 military cargo jet loaded up with hundreds of people, right? If you didn't, I'm probably going to put it on TikTok at some point tonight. 640 civilians packed into a C-17, and only 150 of them were Americans. And of course, for all you liberals keeping score, not a single one of those people had a mask on. It really makes you wonder how our government can be this inept. It is the responsibility of the government to protect and care for its own citizens in situations like this. That's the number one priority. It's their obligation. Yet they're spending more time trying to evacuate and rescue them than they are our own citizens. And listen to this. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby on Tuesday morning told CNN that the Biden administration doesn't know how many Americans are still in Afghanistan. Pentagon spokesman. Not just some guy out there with an opinion like me. This is coming directly from the Pentagon. Kirby also said the Biden administration has no plans to help the Americans evacuate as the Taliban takes over. He said their goal is to secure the airport, but all the Americans that have been ordered to stay in place or at their homes, there's no plan or strategy to evacuate these people. At all. Well, I guess they're going to have to come up with a plan because today the Taliban is giving the U.S. military until September 11th to get out of the country. So they have 3 weeks to come up with an executable plan and evacuate all the Americans. Ordered to leave by the Taliban. Isn't that cute? Anyone out there believe that this would have happened if Trump were still in office like he should be? I don't think so. Now, what else doesn't the Pentagon have a plan for? Well, let's read this from the Gateway Pundit. The Pentagon on Monday can't say if it has plans to keep U.S. weapons and munitions out of the Taliban's hands. A reporter asked U.S. Major General Hank Taylor, a logistics specialist on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, if the U.S. is taking action to destroy weapons, vehicles, or munitions left behind so the Taliban doesn't use or sell the war material. So there's no U.S. actions being taken to prevent equipment from falling into the hands of the Taliban by destroying it or anything else, the reporter asked. I don't have the answer to that question, General Hank Taylor said. Meanwhile, the Taliban is amassing a huge cache of weapons, we have the photos in the video, and taking helicopter rides over Afghanistan. Joe Biden said the Taliban had no air force, now they do. At least we don't have to listen to rude tweets anymore, right? Now those were some scary times. America was on the brink back in those days, all those hurt feelings and those mean tweets. Thank God we're not living in that anymore. Now, you saw earlier how we're not evacuating Americans. Well, we don't have a plan. You'd think our politicians would be up in arms about this, right? And there are a couple people on the Republican side, but not some Democrats, not the Squad and others like them. Know what they're saying that it's time for? To save the Afghanis and bring them here. I'm going to take this from Breitbart. Democrats and mass migration activists are pleading with President Joe Biden to open the United States borders to a flood of Afghans. As Afghanistan's capital city of Kabul falls under Taliban control, House Democrats are urging Biden to admit as many Afghans to the United States as possible through the Special Immigrant Visa Program and the Refugee Resettlement Program. We have a moral obligation to the Afghan people. We must immediately welcome them to the United States and provide real support as they rebuild their lives, Rep. Guess who? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wrote in a statement. Rep. Cori Bush, Democrat, said the U.S. has a duty to save lives and therefore must begin immediately admitting as many Afghans into the U.S. as possible. Likewise, Representative Pramila Jayapal, Democrat from Washington, said the U.S. must quickly evacuate Afghans and bring them to the United States. No mention about the stranded Americans. Zero. Their only concern is seeing how many military-age young Afghani males that they can bring here. Now, that's kind of odd to me. Well, don't worry, because Joe is already listening. He's going to bring over 30,000 Afghani refugees to the United States. But don't be nervous about that, because he's going to be bringing over fighting-age males and sticking them on some of our military bases. And he's already authorized $500 million to do it. Now, what kind of podcaster would I be if I didn't continue to feed you bad news about all of this nonsense and scare you even more, right? So let's move on to the next developing situation, and luckily that's China. Now, Biden just showed his hand to the entire world, made us look weak, and by Biden, I mean whoever controls him, because he can't think his way out of a wet paper bag at this point. We see what this guy is like. We see the cognitive decline. We know that Biden is not in charge. We know he's not making decisions. We don't know exactly who controls Biden. I'm sure it's a group of high-powered people, but we know it isn't him. Which actually brings me back to my point before of why I don't trust all of this. Biden is inept, yes, but the people running Biden. If Afghanistan went down like it did, that was intentional. And now we have to figure out who all that benefits from this. Not America, not us. So now we have to look around and see who benefits. Now let's start with China. With the USA looking so profoundly weak right now, right away they made their move already. Back in July, the Chinese met with the Taliban leadership. A month later, China Joe, the guy who's been making big money deals with Chinese for decades with his crack addict son, the Chinese, who probably have all the dirt in the world on Joe and Hunter, well, China Joe just loses control of Afghanistan without any struggle at all over a day or two. And who are maybe the first people to recognize the new Afghan government? Why, China, of course. Nothing to see here, right? I'll take this from the Gateway Pundit as well. Breaking: China dispatches warships, ASW aircraft, and fighter jets off coast of Taiwan following the fall of Afghanistan, hashtag Biden effect. This is just what Jack Posobiec in the War Room said would happen next. The Global Times reported, the Chinese People's Liberation Army, the PLA, on Tuesday launched joint live-fire assault drills in multiple locations near the island of Taiwan in response to recent collusion and provocations by the U.S. and Taiwan secessionists. Now, it says they dispatched warships, anti-submarine warcraft, fighter jets, and they're doing this live-fire simulation all around the island of Taiwan. Back to the article. Recently, the U.S. and Taiwan authorities have been frequently colluding and making provocations, sending wrong signals that severely violates China's sovereignty and seriously damage peace and stability in the Taiwan Straits. They have become the biggest source of security risk in the region, Xi said. Now, China obviously wants to take back full control of Taiwan, and is there anybody out there now who thinks that China is worried about Joe Biden? Now, the reason this is so dangerous too for us is that our economy has a huge, huge interest in Taiwan. They make all of the advanced chips that we use in all of our products, and a disruption to that would likely be a huge blow to this economy. That would cause a stock market crash. This happening to Afghanistan, it's already a huge blow. All right, this is a big deal. If they launch a military operation against Taiwan, you're not going to believe the disaster that follows that. Thank you, Joe. Now, before I get into some COVID news, I want to mention something, because I'm getting a lot of people messaging me asking if I believe Trump is going to be like reinstalled soon. Do I believe there's a plan to save us? You know what I'm basically getting at, what I'm talking about. Let me start off by saying this. I don't talk about that stuff for the most part. For two reasons. One, that's something that would most likely get me banned off my podcast platforms, and I don't need that. Number two, it's not my strength. I know about a lot of that stuff. I hear about it. I know at least some of the theories and beliefs, but here's my thing. If that comes about, either by way of the election fraud information, a Supreme Court decision, the military stepping in, because, you know, foreign interference is proven in the election, or for whatever reason, if all that happens, or any of it happens, what part do I have to play in that? Nothing. What am I going to be able to do about it? Nothing at all. If that all happens, it's going to happen regardless of anything that I do or I don't do. So what I try to focus on are things that I can be involved in, things that I can try to make better myself. That way I'm contributing something, even if in the end it doesn't matter whether I did anything or not. I'd rather go under the assumption that it's all up to us and we all need to do our part. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'd rather get involved even if it's not needed. Teaches you self-reliance, how to stick up for yourself, and that's good no matter what. It's good to get involved in causes like this, no matter if you can only contribute a tiny bit, or you've got a show and you've got millions of listeners or whatever, or you get into politics. Our strength is in our numbers. The more of us who refuse to accept the country the way it has become, the less chance the left or the globalists have. So get involved. Get involved in your schools, your local politics, get groups of patriots together to formulate plans for your community. You know, thoughts are great. I mean, it's good to watch these shows and it's good to have hope and to listen to what other people think. But we need action now, not just wishes. So I'm focusing on what actions we can take as citizens, and whatever else happens, that's great, bonus. But I'm going to assume we're in control of our own future. It makes us better citizens. It makes us better Americans when we get involved. My plan is, even when we take back everything, when we take back the government, Trump is back in as president, evil is defeated, everything else, I'm not going to quit all this and just go back to sleep. I'm going to continue to be more involved because that's the right thing to do. All right, so let's move on to some of the COVID nonsense now, and then we're going to end the show with that. New York City today just started its vaccine passport program. So to everyone who was looking at Europe a couple of months ago and saying they would never try that here, well, it's already here. It's here in New York, it's here in LA, San Francisco, and it's spreading fast. This is from the Epoch Times. New York City started requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccination at restaurants and gyms, according to the New York City government, coming a day after New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said that people have to also show proof of photo identification as well. Oh, well, he didn't mention that before, did he? Got a question. The Democrats said that it was racist to require a photo ID to vote because black people would have a hard time getting an ID somehow. Said they didn't have access to the internet, couldn't figure out how to do things. You know, all the racist things that they say when they think that they're trying to actually help. So let me see if I understand liberal logic here. You will need to show proof of a photo ID to get inside of a restaurant, but not to vote. Got it. We do not want to go back to restrictions, de Blasio said during a news conference on Tuesday. The key to our progress is vaccination. Well, it would seem that not being able to enter a place of business unless you're forced to take a vaccine that you don't want to take, go out and get a card proving that you did take it, and then showing ID is already a restriction. Can I walk into a gym with no vaccine? Can I walk into a gym with no vaccine passport? No? Sounds like I'm restricted then, doesn't it? It came as museums and art galleries were also told to ask patrons to show proof of vaccination on Monday, according to the mayor's office. And it's easy. All you have to do is show proof of vaccination. That could be a CDC paper card, that could be an Excelsior pass, a New York City COVID safe app, whatever works, Bill de Blasio said on Monday. All you gotta do is show that proof and have an ID as well, and it's straightforward. In the last few podcasts, I've been talking about how quickly that they're escalating all this nonsense, how they bring in an idea one week, tell you it's just something that's being considered. Then they tell you the next week that it might be coming eventually, we're not sure. And then soon after that, they're implementing that very thing that a couple of weeks ago they told you don't even worry about it. Well, here's a really good example. Here are Fauci and the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, about a week or so ago, maybe, you know, 8-9 days ago, talking about booster shots. Let's start with Walensky. This is from the Gateway Pundit. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky on Thursday said only certain immune-compromised individuals might need a COVID booster shot. For now. The science shifts with the political wind, so who knows what Walensky and Fauci will say next week. The FDA is working with Moderna and Pfizer on a third COVID booster shot. Gateway Pundit called it. We all did. Now let's hear what Fauci says. And again, this was like 8 or 9 days ago. Fauci is out on the fake news circuit spreading fear about the Delta variant. CNN's Fareed Zakaria asked Fauci if the COVID vaccines protect against the Delta variant. Fauci said, it's complicated. Well, of course it is. Fauci said the vaccines are keeping people out of the hospital, quote, for the most part, but COVID booster shots are coming soon. We don't need boosters right now for otherwise healthy people who have been vaccinated, but it's entirely conceivable, if not likely, that we're going to at some time. What we do is you follow it in real time, and when you get below a certain threshold, that triggers a recommendation for a booster, Fauci said. We need to look at them in a different light. We would certainly be boosting those people before we boost the general population, I guess meaning the immunocompromised, that's been vaccinated, and we should be doing that reasonably soon, he said. Well, that was over a week ago, and it sounded like they were thinking about, you know, the most vulnerable people were going to be the ones who maybe were going to have to get a booster. And it would be a long time before anybody else would be asked to do the same, right? Well, here's the headline Breitbart today. Biden administration will advise most Americans to get a booster jab 8 months after vaccination. If you enjoyed your first two doses of the coronavirus vaccine, then today is your lucky day because President Joe Biden will soon be recommending most Americans get themselves a coronavirus booster jab within 8 months of being vaccinated. According to the New York Times, two administration officials confirmed the Biden administration will be pushing for Americans to have follow-up shots as early as mid-September. Officials are planning to announce the administration's decision as early as this week, reported the Times. Their goal is to let Americans know now that they will need additional protection against the Delta variant that is causing surging caseloads across the nation. As was the case with the first vaccine, the first booster shots will be for the elderly and frontline coronavirus workers. The proposed policy stems from data out of Israel that suggests that the Pfizer-BioNTech's protection against severe disease has fallen significantly for elderly people who were vaccinated in January or February. Oh, well, see, that's good news that they're getting this data from Israel because over 90% of the hospitalized in Israel are double vaccinated. And now, they tell us it doesn't work after a few months, and you need more shots. We'll enjoy taking a shot every few months, I guess. As for myself, I have chosen non-compliance. All right, I'm going to wrap this up for today. My voice is killing me. I don't know why, but I want to get this out in a decent hour. One parting thought here. A lot of this information overload is on purpose, and it's distraction. It's bad and frustrating distraction, but distraction nonetheless. The audits and election fraud are everything to them. They're fighting it tooth and nail. They can't be exposed, but they will be exposed. So they're trying to figure out what to do. This is a dirty battle playing out before our eyes here. As bad as things are, remember that nothing is permanent. This country is really, really good at rebounding. It's very difficult to totally destroy our economy like they want, but they're for sure going to try. They are terrified of the audits. They are terrified of the fact that people all around the world are uniting against the ruling class and starting to fight back. They didn't anticipate that, and they are still trying to figure out what to do about it. So far, they've done the most stupid thing that they can do, which is only going to unite us further, and that's to push harder. More mandates, more rules, more lockdowns, more fines. They are bringing people all around the world to a boiling point. Watch for major news events like Afghanistan or other events to try to turn our attention away from things that they are trying to do in the background. Keep your eye on what's important and don't give up. Attitude is everything. You have to remember that these are a small, insignificant number of people. They have no right to do this to you. They have no right to suspend your rights. And we have the ultimate power, especially if we stick together and not comply in unison all over the world. So for now, don't panic, stay calm, but be resolved to defend what is yours. They can't win this fight unless they persuade you to give in and submit. That's the war we face right now. Information war, propaganda, and who's going to succumb to threats? I think I'm going to choose my freedom, and I would bet my ass that you are too. All right, that's it for today. I can barely speak. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know other people who would like it, please pass it along to them as well. I want to give you a quick rundown of my links. I'm on TikTok and Telegram at Conservative Roots Podcast. I have an apparel store for t-shirts at conservativeroots.net. Everything on there is free shipping in the United States. If you want to support the show financially, I have a Patreon, and that's at Conservative Roots Podcast as well. I think you can support there for as little as $3 a month, maybe $5, not so bad. I think it's $3. Cup of coffee at a cafe, basically. All right, enjoy your night. I'm going to talk to you guys again soon, probably on Friday for a weekend episode. Take care.